Microphones are on and the cameras are rolling. Welcome to City Hall for tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting and, gentlemen from Troop 111, the last public meeting of this body for the year 2013. So you've chosen a good night. We begin with the roll call. We kindly ask our city clerk to take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Heather Flanagan?
Here.
Dean Kilberg?
Here.
Greg Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
For the record, Mr. Clerk, I did hear from Mrs. Vogelsberg late last night. She is out of town, so she did notify the council of her absence. Wow, Harrison Street School Club Cub Scouts Pack 111. Gentlemen, would you do us the honor of leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and would you step forward, please, to do so? And we're going to follow your lead, okay, guys? So whenever you begin, we'll just follow along.
There's the flag right up here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well done, guys. Gentlemen, hold on. Before you sit down, why don't you stand at the podium for a second? And each one of you, share with us your name and the year in school and your girlfriend's name.
What if we don't have one?
You speak for the whole group? Why don't we start with this gentleman right here? What's your name, sir? Right behind that podium, there's a microphone. Do you see it?
Pull the microphone down.
See that? Yeah, pull that microphone. Oh, this is perfect. It's like eight Tim Conways. This is awesome. Yeah.
There's no little stool.
You have to. What's your name?
Zach.
Zach, what grade are you in?
Fourth.
Fourth grade. How's school?
Good.
Excellent. Chris? We'll let the leader here. Yeah.
I'm Chris. I'm in fourth grade. And school's good.
And school's good? What's your favorite subject, Chris?
Recess.
That's like Mr. Maladra. That's awesome.
I'm Henry Helfers. I'm in fourth grade like the rest of these three boys. I'm in 4P for Mrs. Perry's class.
Oh, yeah.
And I love hockey.
Henry, that is you don't hear that name much. That's a cool name, man. I like it.
I am Nuke Knoll.
Your first name is?
Nuke.
Nuke?
Nuke.
How do you spell that?
L-U-K-E.
I said Nuke. I thought you were named after a missile. Okay, Luke. Sorry, big guy.
I am in fourth grade, and school is fantastic.
Whoa. I like you better than Chris already. Awesome.
My name is Christian, and I go to Harrison Street School, and school is good.
School is good. A lot of English majors here. This is awesome.
My name is Seamus McDonald.
Whoa!
I am in fourth grade like everybody else, and school is going to be the death of my life in 2 years.
Why do you expect to repeat fifth grade?
No.
No. Seamus, is that a German name?
It's Irish.
Oh, I see. Typical Irish. What's your middle, Seamus, what's your middle name?
Andrew.
Andrew, where did that come from? I like it. So your initials are Sam, S-A-M. I like that. Gentlemen, do you have any comments or questions for us before we begin our meeting? Oh, God, let's see. Who is this guy, Mr. Clerk, do you remember?
It was the name you don't hear much anymore.
Oh, here's the Henry, double H, right? What's your middle name, Henry?
H-J-H.
What's your question, handsome? Take your time. We're paid by the hour. Do you know what this phone's for up here?
No.
Press one button. Dairy Queen. Yeah, really? Yeah, Nuke. That's really. Anyone else? Questions before we begin the meeting? Oh, God. Henry, you again?
It's two for Dunkin' Donuts.
Who?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Super.
one is for Dairy
yes,
Queen.
Yes, yes, yeah. One's Dairy Queen, one's Dunkin' Donuts, the other one's for the Heart Association.
Can we get some Dunkin' Donuts?
Too? We can. Meet me tomorrow morning at 6:30 over at Simonian's house. Yes, sir.
You can be Dairy Queen.
I promise I'll buy you guys all Dairy Queen.
Really?
Hey.
Can you get out of
here? We'll head over to Batavia and borrow Jeff Schulke's card. We'll get some stuff. Anything else, gentlemen?
Last question,
Seamus? Oh, Seamus, then Nuke. Seamus.
Is one of the buttons for McDonald's?
No, God, no. We can't. That's the. No. Five guys.
See what you've started.
Why did you become a male?
That is a good question. Well, you know, I like the job. It's a lot of fun. And I thought I could perhaps do a good job. So I went and asked the people if they would vote for me. And enough people voted for me. So now I get to hang out with you guys on Monday night. I'll second guess that one for a while, won't I?
Luke, can you ask him how long he's been here?
How long have you been male for?
What is this, Nancy Reagan over here telling you what this is? You guys will understand that in a few years.
Yeah.
This is my 13th year as being mayor. How old are you guys?
I'm 10.
There you go.
I'm 9.
I'm 9 and I'm already a video game addict.
Oh, well. There you go. Good Lord. I'm 49 and I'm exhausted. We're going to kick off the meeting, gentlemen. It's going to be a brief meeting, so stick around, okay?
Brief.
Brevity is the better part of wisdom.
Or the other guys.
Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments offered by...
Point of order.
Yes, sir.
Special
items. Oh, forgive me. Item 3, special items and presentations. City communication presentation by none other than Kevin Starr, who signs his name on emails, K, then star. Isn't that right, Kev?
That is correct, Mayor.
Now, Kev, share with us how long you've been on board.
I've been here 5 months now.
5 months. And Kevin's presentation tonight is not only the enhanced communication efforts that we've employed over the last 5 months plus, but also, I think, to help demonstrate how we communicate in a variety of different ways, what we believe is pretty effective communication, and perhaps to shed light on those watching and those in the room, how we aspire to do even a better job moving forward. So, welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Alderman, for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight about our communications plan with the city. Since the city created a communications coordinator position during this fiscal year, we've increased communication by either implementing new procedures or putting dedicated resources towards our existing practices. Given the diverse age populations and how people get their information, we have a wide menu of communication options they can choose from. I'd like to start off first by speaking about our news releases. We've set up an email distribution list with more than 100 media contacts, along with contacts from our local municipalities and government neighbors. We've created templates for our city, police, and fire departments to have a uniform look throughout the city. Since I've started in July, we've written 44 news releases, and all the news releases are available on our posted on our website. Speaking of our website, any good communication plan is going to have its website serve as an information hub. The website was last overhauled in 2004, and the biggest problem with that website was its navigation. It was extremely difficult to find information in a quick and an efficient manner. Our new website went live in October, and it presents a very clean look and enhanced navigation. As you'll see on our homepage, we have a rotating list of headlines, which is where the snow parking regulations is located. And that has information about important notices, community events, and city programs. We also have a dedicated home for our news releases and updates on the homepage, which is right below in the middle of the screen. And if you toggle the other tab right next to In the News, it pulls up our calendar of events, which also states all our government meetings. The two newest features of our website are Notify Me and Report a Concern. With Notify Me, residents, business owners, and other community stakeholders can have information brought right to their email or cell phone by subscribing to our Notify Me section. They can choose from the alert, receive community alerts, bid postings, government jobs, our news items, calendar events, as well as our agendas and meetings from our city council, K Committee of the Whole, or any of our appointed boards or commissions. With Report of Concern, this is our online request tracker where residents and business owners can contact our city staff directly to report their problems or issues they may be having. Visitors to our website can ask for service or assistance from any department and track the progress towards resolution. Just going back to our homepage real briefly, visitors can access other important information on the left-hand rail underneath the, you'll see Notify Me and Report a Concern on the top left. On the lower left is the white rail where people can find agendas and minutes, bids and RFPs, and also staying connected with Geneva news and information. This brings you right to our city communications page, which has all our communication tools right at people's disposal. They can choose from social media, for example, which brings you to Facebook. We have 5,253 fans, and that is our largest base of followers for any of our communication tools. Just to put this in perspective, it's about 2,000 more fans than what the city of Naperville has, despite the fact that Naperville is about 6 times the size and population than Geneva. This is a great way to interact with people, share news, photos, and information, and of course, direct them back to our website for more information. We also use Facebook to market Geneva with positive news coverage and highlighting all the great things that makes Geneva a wonderful community. On Twitter, we have 2,410 followers. And this is actually our fastest growing communication tool. On average, we get 2 new additional followers per day. This is a great way to distribute news to people quickly. Imagine sending a text message to 2,410 of your closest friends. And it also provides constant updates as needed. For those not comfortable with social media, we offer Geneva Mail, which is our weekly e-blast. All our news releases and important information is posted on Geneva Mail, which is sent out on Friday afternoons. If needed, we have the ability to send out individual blasts, for example, critical incident alerts, broken water mains, traffic accidents, etc. We have 2,138 subscribers to Geneva Mail. Our quarterly newsletter is distributed via email in January, April, July, and October. We're actually in the midst of putting our winter newsletter together at this moment. The newsletter highlights news items, services from every department in the city, and we try to take a big picture look at what's going on in the community. Our Geneva newsletter has 2,467 subscribers. Our other communication tools are quite varied. We have our utility bill messaging and inserts, which is dedicated messages at the top of every single utility bill. This strategy is particularly effective because it provides 100% saturation because we reach every single utility account customer in Geneva. We've also been producing more inserts, and for those that pay their bills online, we've also have those messages and inserts available right before they pay their bill. For those that are comfortable using the phone, we have our 630-232 info line, which we've been placing regular updates about news, programs, and events on a weekly basis. We also have information that people can access for any department in the city. Since I've started here in July, we've also utilized Trib Local, which all our news releases are posted to the Chicago Tribune's Tri-Cities page on the Tribune. Information is then published in a weekly print edition that is included with their regular paper. I believe that comes out on Thursdays. The city also provides information in the Geneva Neighbors and Inside Geneva magazine. It provides free space for us to promote upcoming events, programs, and services in each issue. And both magazines are published 6 times per year. For those people that are interested in getting information from our police department, they can sign up for Nixel, which is a text messaging system. Residents and business owners can sign up for to be notified in the event of an emergency or public safety situation that's being handled by our police department. We have 676 subscribers, but Nixel is also tied to our Twitter account, which expands its outreach. The Geneva Broadcast Network is going to see a lot of exciting changes in the coming year, You can find Geneva Broadcast, of course, on Channel 10, on Comcast, and Channel 99 on AT&T U-verse. As you may know, we profile a new business each month as part of our Business Beat series. Some of our plans for expanding programming next year include having Officially Speaking, which will bring an elected official to the interview table each month to be talk about what's on the City Council's agenda or that appointed Board or Commission. So I'm sure I'll be in contact with many of you in the near future to set up those appointments. We'll also be doing Geneva Works, which will spotlight a different department in the city or division and what's on their plate. We plan on focusing on Geneva's rich history with the show, produced by our Historic Preservation Department, or division, I should say. And we also plan on highlighting Geneva's bigger festivals and promoting bid openings that will be airing on television starting in late January. One of the other goals is to provide more news bulletin boards to inform our viewing audience of what's going on in our community. And of course, we have a variety, since we've had electronic communication, telephone, TV, we also have a number of hard copy handouts that we have available at City Hall and all our municipal buildings. Those includes brochures, maps, guidebooks, and other handouts featuring the budget summary, annual report, open burning regulations, and if I'm not mistaken, there's 23 different building and code brochures. Of course, nothing beats getting information other than personal contact on a one-on-one basis or a group setting. Our city staff is available in person and directly by email, by phone, or phone by 5 days a week. We also hold workshops to introduce updated codes, such as updated liquor license or updated liquor code, answer questions, and seek input and feedback during these policy decision-making process. City staff makes personal visits to individual merchants and industries on an annual basis to provide contact information and ensure our business community has full access to city resources. And in addition to public meetings and public hearings, we also hold open houses, workshops, and planning sessions to engage and inform the public. I believe Ellen DeVito will be probably outlining some of these business outreach processes in her presentation next month. Just wanted to highlight that our outreach to our business community includes several e-blasts to our entire business community, our downtown business community, along with monthly merchant meetings to talk in a group setting about business issues that impact our community. We have several committees, as you well know, about that deal with businesses, and other committees. We also include most of all this information on our Info for Merchants page, which is available on our website. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions or comments from Mr. Starr? Mr. Bruno, Alderman Bruno, excuse me.
Oh, Mr. is fine.
Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Your Excellency.
I just wanted to say, I've as an experiment, I subscribe to just about everything through the website, and there is a lot of stuff. It's a great tool for staying connected, staying on top of things. If the public would take a little time to go check out the new website, which I like very much, they'll get a lot of useful information. Particularly, I like the search function, where you can pretty much search for anything, anywhere on the website. Very useful. Thank you.
Anyone else? Oh, Alderman Simonian.
Do you prefer Kevin or K-Star?
Either one is fine.
We tease him about K-Star.
Are there any revenue-generating opportunities in these communication pieces?
There, we currently don't have any at the moment. There are, if there are opportunities, obviously, if you ever do a newsletter for advertising, there is potential in doing that. It's not something that we've currently discussed at this point, but there are always opportunities that sometimes work better in a print product, just under my expertise, just because it reaches a wider demographic of homes and audiences.
If I could just speak to that, when we had the printed newsletter several years ago, we did look into that. The reason that we chose not to do that is because we would be in competition with the chamber because they sell advertising for their news publications. So we chose not to do that, and since we went to the digital format, we saved about $16,000 a year going digital as opposed to the hard copy prints.
Okay. Just curious.
And as far as our public broadcasting, we're not allowed by law to advertise.
The great law.
Anything else, Alderman Simonian?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Alderman Kilburg.
Are you doing all the maintenance on the website then, or is that still outsourced?
I'm the point person for all our website maintenance at this point.
So you're the webmaster?
Unofficially, yes.
Good, thank you.
Anyone else from the dais? Anyone in the audience? Any questions about our communication methods and the enhanced efforts? Mrs. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to invite the council or the audience, our viewing audience, if anyone has any suggestions about how we can improve our communications. We're continually looking to do that. I think that we have done so over the past year in particular, but we're always looking to enhance that. So if anyone has any thoughts or suggestions, we're more than happy to take them, particularly if they're free. Thank you.
So you want me to take back that information to Mayor Pradel and tell him we have twice as many Facebook fans?
Sure, you can certainly say that. It's all factual.
It is all factual. It's impressive. That's awesome.
And just for those that may be watching at home, you can find more information on our website at geneva.il.us.
How many visits do we get? How sticky is our website? Do we get approximately how many visits per month? Do you know that raw data?
You know, I don't think we have that data at our fingertips right yet, just because we've switched over to a new platform.
Okay.
So, you know, we're obviously the subscriber lists are growing on a daily basis. I have seen more people get more familiar with our tools that we have on our website. I can certainly try to find more analytics that I can provide through Mary to pass
along.
I'm
just curious, yeah. Because a lot of people brag about their stickiness on the web page. Otherwise, you know, yeah, you get 500,000 viewers a year, but who actually stays there?
Right.
How many pages they visit, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be curious to know what's the most popular page. Is it development? Is it community? Is it police? Is it fire? Is it?
Just from my experience so far, the top categories seem to be people are trying to find news and information.
Okay.
Job postings is also very popular. Hmm. Our bid postings and our calendar of events.
Okay.
Those seem to be the top four general categories that people are trying to find. I think agendas and minutes would probably be in the fifth category.
The bottom quartile?
Top five, I should say.
Any additional comments or questions from Mr. Starr? Yes, Alderman Flanagan.
Just a comment. I think that the news releases that you produce are good, and it seems to be, at least for my benefit, because I do email, I don't do all the others yet.
Sure.
And I think that the website is really great. So I commend everyone who was a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. We do try to provide a range of communication options depending on what people feel comfortable with or how they want to get their information. So we try to reach to a wide variety of audiences.
The NICSIL is a heck of a program.
Yes, it is. It's proving quite popular with the police department.
Yes. And have you completed your Christmas shopping yet for your daughter?
For her, yes.
I'm not going to ask about the other lady in your life, so.
Right, the wife is still.
This is your broadcast, I'm
right.
Sure.
Almost
else?
Done.
Anything else for Kev? Thank you, sir, very much.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening by any member of the council? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion unless a member of the council and or those joining us here at the chamber wish to remove an item for new and relevant information.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Bruno to approve the omnibus agenda, seconded by the gentleman in red, Alderman Brown. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 10 is municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $3,070,596.93.
Mayor Burns, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to that total can be found in the packet for tonight's meeting on the city website.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown to pay the bills as presented are available on the city's website in our packets this evening. Is seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions or comments regarding those bills presented? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Committee of the Whole, items of business. Begin with item 11A, recommend resolution number 2013-123, authorizing execution of contract with Accurate Edge Landscaping for SSA number 5, snow and ice removal.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Flanagan makes the second. Questions or comments regarding this item? There was some discussion at the Committee of the Whole meeting regarding this matter, and I don't know if either Alderman Singer or Flanagan have any additional information to share.
If I may.
Please do.
Alderman Flanagan and I sat down and discussed the issue, and I felt it be prevalent for the senior alderperson in our ward to address Alderman Brown's concerns. So I yield the floor to Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. Senior,
so
I'm
graceful.
Not
that was so. Okay. I wouldn't walk to your car alone tonight, but that was very graceful.
Senior, as in seating, I'm assuming.
Yes, no.
Yes. You're seated, as I'm assuming. Yes, I know that there was a concern by Alderman Brown, and we tried to gather some information about the residents who, over the years, have contacted us, and we unfortunately have not captured that history. But Alderman Singer has been talking to the crossing guard for over 2 or 3 years now, and we have been trying to come up with a solution, and we felt that this was the way to approach it. We did talk to Tom Dahl and Dan Dinges, and Tom Dahl said there was enough reserves in there to allow for the snow removal this year, and also a minimal increase of 4.9%. I was told that if we go to 5%, then we have to have a public hearing and we have to get the residents involved. So before we do that, we wanted to see what the cost of a normal snow event would be for the season. And we also talked to Dan Dinges and offered to, I mean, made some recommendations like the snow has to be 2 inches or more, because we felt that we didn't want them to go out there and actually snow, you know, remove the snow when there was just a dusting. We didn't want the expense to be there. Also, only on school days, how Dan has it set up, only on school days, and of course during the breaks and the holidays, that snow removal will not be taken care of. So we thought that the 4.9%, we felt with the, because there was a fund balance in that account, that we could manage it. And if we did have to increase it by any means, we would have to then go to the residents directly. And so I hope that answered some of your questions. I know that we don't have any list, and no one has really approached us since the last call meeting, so.
I noticed, thank you, Alderman Flanagan, for your work, and Alderman Singer. I noticed that it was freshly plowed. Is that the city that has plowed it?
I think that at this current time the city was doing it because of the fact that Accurate was, we didn't vote on the actual contract, but Mr. Dinges will answer that question.
If it was done along the north-south stretch, I'm not sure who did that because that would not have been us, but the sidewalk along Williamsburg and the crosswalk itself would have been our guys.
And not the school district. They do the along, there's a sidewalk in front of the school itself.
Correct, and they bring it to Northampton, but they do not, we've tried to work with them to do the ramps and at that location. They only go to a portion and then they turn around.
It's an extra 15 seconds for less and we bring somebody in to do it?
Right now we have we do it during normal work hours, 7 to 3:30 after the event.
But we bring plow from somewhere else to do it.
Well, we're bringing it from, typically from 3rd Street or downtown.
But
of economy, it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to stop 10 feet short and us bring someone from across the city. But as I say, I noticed the north-south path was freshly, and hope upon hope, I thought it was one of the kind neighbors. I have neighbors that plow my sidewalk when I'm out of town, and I do the same for them. And I was just hoping that maybe this was an example of good neighborliness, which we enjoy in Geneva. But as far as you know, it wasn't the city, but it has been cleaned this week, nicely cleaned. Thank you.
Anyone else? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As a segue to Alderman Flanagan's comments, we're predicting somewhere in the vicinity of possibly 30 occurrences. And the areas will be, and snow will be removed somewhere between 7:30 in the morning prior to 8 o'clock and then late in the afternoon when the students are dismissed. The crossing guard is the one with the women that I have been in contact with over the years, and I've gotten to know her quite well. In fact, I stopped just the other day to talk to her, and she was very pleased with what we've been doing there, in as much as that they've been very meticulous about the crosswalk areas. And she's very grateful, and she thanked me, and I said, well, I thank you for that. I said, but it's the community here that's responsible for saying to it that that work is being done. And she was very grateful. And I had concerns because I had seen her there over the years with her own snow shovel cleaning out the crosswalk areas. And I had stopped and I said to her, I don't think you should be doing that. I had concerns that there could be some liability involved. And she says, well, no one else was doing it. I said, well, that's how this all began to materialize, when I said there's got to be some way in which this can be taken care of. So that's how I began to pursue this over the years. And now we're finally coming to some resolution. And I want to thank the council for going along with approving this particular process and my constituents as well. Thank you. And thank you, Dan, for your involvement as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. From the dais, anyone else? Alderman Kilburg.
How would this be different than, for instance, the detention along Geneva Drive and Eastside Drive where there aren't any residents?
It would be the same thing. So if they actually, funny you said that, because we had a call this past week of someone complaining about the sidewalk there, and we said, well, if there was an SSA that could be enacted, we would be able to have it serviced by a contractor. So.
Thank you.
Anyone from the audience? A roll call vote is in order. I would kindly ask our clerk to take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Gene Kilburg?
Aye.
Greg Malaudra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Item 11A passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. We jump down to 11B, which is related. It's approved ordinance number 2013-49 for the levy and assessment of 2013 taxes for special service area number 5 in the amount of $8,130.
So moved.
Second.
Flanagan makes the motion and Singer makes the second. We are now monetizing item 11A. Any questions regarding the figure shared? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Item 11B passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 11C is to authorize staff to release request for proposals for downtown TIF district eligibility study and preparation of a redevelopment plan and project.
So move.
Singer makes the motion. We'll need a second to get this on the floor.
I'll second it.
Maladra with enthusiasm only known to Craig Maladra. Ms. DeVita, do you have anything you'd like to add to this?
I do have questions, though.
Of course.
Of course.
You look very Mr. Rogers tonight, by the way.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is. I saw you changing your shoes before the meeting. I'm a little worried.
Good evening.
I have questions. Are you going first or am I going first?
They're your questions.
Oh, okay. So it's so of course, before any of my questions, I have preamble. So sit back, relax. So I mentioned to Mary, I mentioned to Alan that I'm puzzled by the area that we're including in this study, particularly the area that formerly currently known as Offsite 6. And we say in the staff memo, therefore, the area proposed for this study includes commercial property, and then this stuff, which is residential property. The reason for doing that, the reason given is consistency in planning documents. As far as I know, our planning documents call for this area to be residential. It's residential in the comprehensive land use plan. We've went through a multi-month discussion where the downtown master plan was amended to show it in Opsite 6 as residential. And so bundling it with commercial properties to me just seems to be counter to the whole consistency argument. And I believe consistency is as important to residents as it is to potential developers. So I'm not seeing the need to include these properties in the study area. Excuse me. For a while, I was thinking that maybe the issue is contiguity so that we can get to the city-owned property. But as I understand it, this contiguity can be obtained coming through Island Park, so the city-owned property will be included regardless. Why do we include in a project that's basically commercial in nature? We do TIFs to generate commercial redevelopment, right? So why are we including residential properties that were recently amended a plan to show residential in a basically commercial tool?
I'll be honest, my answer won't be much different than last week. I did make 2 changes in the memo this week, if you noticed. One, I caught Alderman Marks's typo on budgeted, not budgeted for. I changed that. And then I also noted in the bullet points on part 2, on page 2, the question of paying for infrastructure. But to answer your question, why would I recommend that these 4 properties be included? Honestly, I would recommend that everything to Chrissy be included and was stepping back because of the sensitivity in Opportunity 6. The consistency is not just a question of land use, it's a question of study area for all of the plans that we've studied. And this area was studied in the past few plans because downtown doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists enveloped by neighborhoods, and you have to know what's going on in those neighborhoods around you. And so all of the studies always include a little bit more of the neighborhood around. But the main reason is still the main reason that I had brought out last week, that when you're doing a TIF in the state of Illinois, it's best practices to go across the state right away to the other side of the road. And if you're going to be doing development up on State Street, you might need to run new utility lines. If you look at the intersection of 25 and 38, it has a significant jog to the west on the southern leg. That kind of thing, you might wish to correct it with a project, a redevelopment project. And if you are on the eastern side of 25 for the entire length of that sweep, you could then use TIF funds if we need to make any improvements. The council can choose to leave the four out, the four parcels out. As you said, the contiguity does exist through the park. So my answer is still what it was last week. It's just, at this point, it's a study area too. You know, we could, if we go forward with a district, remove them at that part, at that point also. And then the other thing that you and I talked about is whether or not you would use TIF funds for residential. I've never worked in a city where TIF funds were used for residential. It has happened in other towns. It's not something that was in my mind as I was going forward. And I did point out to you that Opportunity 6, when it was first written, was not just single family or residential. It also had a third potential use, which was institutional, as in parks connecting 25 down to the river. There was talk of maybe the library or cultural arts. Those were the kinds of dreams and ideas the community came up with at the meetings. So for me, as I've always looked at Opportunity 6, there was always that non-residential element that is possible at one point in the future.
All right, so the best, or is this an accurate summary then? So contiguity is not an issue. The city property is
correct,
can be part of the study regardless.
Correct.
So we may as well include as many properties as we can in order to be able to take advantage of potential for infrastructure improvements.
That is the rationale. Okay.
So mm-hmm. You've never done a TIF for residential development. It's always been for commercial. Have you ever done a TIF for basically no development at all, just infrastructure improvements?
That's been done before, yeah.
All right.
But you can't do just a TIF for infrastructure.
No,
because
I understand that.
You have to produce the increment.
Also, no, this is the inclusion of this in a, mm-hmm. in a broader area. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the redevelopment opportunities along State Street are sort mm-hmm. of obvious. So
yeah, and to qualify,
I was just wondering why we're adding these properties, and the main reason is it gives us some leverage for getting some infrastructure improvements along Route 25.
That was what was in my mind as I wrote the recommendation, yes. And
I tried to figure that out, but okay. It gets scary.
Well, that's why it's better when you just ask. the other thing is, when you see a TIF document, it will always say what factors exist on each parcel. And so when you're proving eligibility, you look for preponderance of a certain number of the 14 factors to exist. Not every parcel will have every factor
in the district, right,
on it. Did I miss anything, Mary? Okay.
No, the only thing that I would add is this is has no impact on individual property taxes. It's not going to change that. It's not a zoning change. Basically, what it's doing is looking to contain that increment of tax growth for use within that geographical area designated as a TIF,
yeah,
whether it's infrastructure
it
or otherwise.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Thank you.
Anyway, Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. But road improvements could be done because if I remember Mary mentioning that it could be bonded. I mean, we could go out for bond. So in essence, we could just do the road improvement, could we not? Or do we still
along
have
those
to go?
Parcels, yes.
Yeah.
Road improvements are an eligible TIF use. My reference in it has to be beyond infrastructure is if you were just doing infrastructure improvements, you weren't going to be creating any incremental
right.
value on parcels.
Right.
You got that.
Yeah.
I saw you nod.
But if the properties are put into the study, that doesn't necessarily mean that those properties remain in the TIF if the study holds to, say, remove it. Or
They could be removed.
Or do we, as a city council, have to remove those parcels? You know what I'm saying? Does the study do it, or do we have to do it?
There's an anatomy of the document that would create a TIF district, and it lays out the physical conditions that exist in the geographic area and why it qualifies. It's a 5 out of 14 14 factors, And one of those factors has to be the EAV in the area is not matching pace with the rest of the city. And then you have a discussion of what you would like to see happen. And you can include specific projects or a general description. There's usually some generality in there. And then there is an estimated budget.
Right, but can those parcels be removed from after the study saying, yeah. Oh, well, after the study was looked at,
yeah.
Whoever was doing the study, could they remove those too?
Yes, it's our document.
Then we would have, or we do it.
Ellen?
There's a project area that's developed as part of the TIF formation.
Right.
Project plan,
the
redevelopment plan, the city council does that. So once you get the study, then the next step is
to
formulate it, right.
Okay.
And you get a geographic area that matches with a plan.
And we can adjust that geographic area at time of adoption.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was trying. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else on the dais? From the audience? We'll take a roll call vote on item 11C. Mr. Clerk?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Item 11C passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. We jump to item 11D, recommend resolution number 2013-129, expressing official intent regarding certain expenditures to be reimbursed from the special tax allocation fund and or from proceeds of debt issued, if any, in connection with a proposed tax increment financing district.
So moved. Second.
Cummings makes the motion and Mr. Marks makes the second. Questions regarding this matter? On the dais, seeing none, hearing none from the audience? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Item 11D passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. According to my scorecard, we're down to item number 13, new business. Out of deference to those who have slugged through the weather to join us, I'll defer to the audience if anyone joining us this evening has any new business. Well, you guys are like fascinating. What brings you guys here tonight?
Excuse me, Burns.
Good Lord, what did I do? The attorney says you guys really need to get out more. From the dais, Alderman Flanagan.
My seasonal Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year now, because we won't be around, to everyone here and everybody in our viewing audience. So just a very Merry Christmas and a safe one for those who are traveling and safe return.
Boy, you've sparked such enthusiasm. Oh, it's unbelievable. Anyone else from the dais? Mrs. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alderman Bruno had sent an email within the last couple of weeks asking about home repair assistance, and I sent out some information, but I just wanted to make that information available to the public. We are putting this contact information up on our website, but basically for those in need of home repair services, basic services, small repairs, the HAVE group is available in to help with. It's a home assistance volunteer effort, HAVE, H-A-V-E, and their contact information, they're located in Batavia, is up on our website now. But they volunteer their time and labor for small home repairs. They do ask that materials be covered if possible. If not, those are sometimes donated as well. But for those in our community that might need that type of assistance, again, it's for minor home repairs. This group is available, and I just wanted to make that known to the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We do have an item for executive/closed session. That item is to discuss the purchase, lease, and or sale of property for the public use. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to closed session.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Marks, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Seconded by Cummings. A roll call vote is not necessary, but of course we're going to do that anyways. Yeah, chime in a little earlier, man. It's like, Mr. Clerk, if they could trouble you to take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Greg Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
We shall be brief, and there's no action being taken in open session this evening, so we'll return in just a moment.